Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated and sit back and relax in God's house, you children of the Lord, brothers and sisters. Amen. Praise God. I don't know if Zippy was and Lily were still there at the concert Friday night, but I started playing music. My daddy was a musician, was on the radio when I was, of course, Jenny, right, Norman? We used to turn him on WICC and sing, and I wanted to be a musician. I knew that. And the Beatles came along, and that started me wanting to do that. When I was just a boy, 12 and 13 years old, I used to go to the Danbury Fair. I told you this, and it just means so much. And there were a band right there. We walked in, and there was a stage. Ginger May was playing, and it was like, and there was a guy playing guitar, with electric guitar, playing electric guitar. Oh, his name was Zippy Johnson. Zippy. Oh, him. And God brought him back and brought him into my life as a friend, and now as a brother and Lily, a sister in Christ. And I can't thank him enough for little small things like that. So I wanted to just mention that again. I mentioned you Friday night, but I'm not sure if you had to leave or you got cold or whatever. You see, that's why the jams are special to me, because I get to hear him play again. I saw him when I was a boy on a stage that was, anybody here ever been to the Danbury Fair? You know how great that was. And there he was. And there God, see, God is so good. So good. Praise the Lord. Let's read together this morning. Responsive reading. Let's see what Marilyn picked out for us. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Behold, children, our heritage from the Lord. Let me read that again. Behold, children, our heritage from the Lord. Children are. What are? Children. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Go.
Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are our children of one's youth.
True. Happy is he man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord and Jesus Christ. Psalm 127. Children are our heritage. From who?
The Lord.
God. That and the fruit of the womb is a what? A reward. We need to see that more and more. We need to hear that. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sometimes somebody will give me a book to read and I'll kind of scan through it and try to find things in the book. And Sister Jean gave me a book to read a couple of weeks ago and it was hard reading. But it inspired me, it fired me up, and we're going to share some of that today also, amen? Because when you get fired up about the things of God, it makes you feel good, gets you excited, and you want to share that message. How many want a good message? You should get a good message every Sunday. It should be about you, and about God, and about making you feel closer to God. I believe. Herod the king told the wise men to send word of him once they found the young child, so he can do what? So he can do what? Bring him a gift, worship him, or make him a king too. Herod the king told the wise men to send word to him once they found the young child, so he can do what? How many think bring him a gift? You want to bring? How many think worship him? Anybody worship him? How about you make him a king too? Make him a king too? He told them to send news so he could worship him. What did he want to do?
Kill him.
He wanted to kill the baby. The gods of the Canaanites wanted baby sacrifices. Does that sound horrible to you? One of them, Moloch was his name, M-O-L-E-C-H. He required sacrificing babies on the altar to him. What God would do that? What type of tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? According to Genesis 2. According to Genesis, what type of tree was the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Was it an apple tree? Was it a pear tree? Was it a fig tree? Or one more? We just don't know. How many think it was an apple tree? Apple tree. How many pear tree? We got pear? Fig, anybody? Fig. How about we just don't know? And it's a great word. Traditionally, we call it an apple tree. But according to Genesis 2, we don't know. Isn't that interesting? We are never told what kind of tree it is, but we just assume because she took a bite of the fruit that it was an apple tree. Could have been peach, we don't know. Cherry tree? Okay, you can't take a bite out of a cherry. It's funny sometimes in the Bible when you don't know, so we just make it up. How many heard the story of Jonah in the belly of the whale? The Bible doesn't say it was a whale. It says it was a big fish. So you just assume it was a whale. That's fun stuff. Who was David's firstborn son? David's firstborn. Was it Amnon? Was it Abinadab? Or was it Abner? David's firstborn son. How many think it was Amnon? A-M-N-O-N. Anybody? How about Abinadab? Abinadab? Anybody? How about Abner? Anybody but Abner? His first name son, the firstborn son was Amnon. A-M-N-O-N. I don't have any friends by that name. Amnon. His wife, the woman that bore him, was Ahinoam. A-H-I-N-O-A-N. Ahinoam. Or Ahinoam. She was a Jezreelitess. She was a Jezreelite. And she was a girl, so it's Jezreelitess. That was his firstborn son, Amnon. Who was instructed by God to lead the people after Moses' death? This is a good one because this is kind of where you learn the Bible. Who was instructed by God to lead the people after Moses' death? Was it Aaron? Was it Jacob? Or was it Joshua? Who was instructed by God? How many think it was Aaron, his brother? How many think it was Jacob? How about Joshua? Have we got Joshua? It's actually the sixth book of the Bible. What is it? Joshua. Joshua was led, he led the Israelites after Moses died. Remember, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night and do all that is written in it. That was in Joshua 1:8. So Joshua was chosen. How many people died in the plague, and this is a good one, caused by Israel worshiping the God of the Moabites? Israel left their God to worship another what? God. Right. Another God. Small g. The God of the Moabites. How many people died caused by a plague? Was it 17,000, 24,000, or 56,000 died? How many think 17,000? 24,000? 56,000. That's pretty good. 24,000 people died because of the plague that God sent down because the Israelites were worshiping the God of the Moabites. They stopped worshiping him and they started worshiping another God. Because either way you do it, you're going to be worshiping something, amen? If you're at the altar of sin, you're worshiping another God. If you're running around doing sinful things, you're worshiping at another God. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they have no religion. Because they say religion's bad, but they have a religion. Their religion is another God. The religion of hate, the religion of all these other things in life. These things that are abominations to God. You say, well, I don't like that God. Yeah, but you like another God. Well, I'm not religious. Yes, you are. You're very religious to what you believe. Praise God. God don't mess around. I got one more. I thought this was good. Who was Miriam in the Bible? Because how many know women are important in the Bible? How many of women are really important? Because Pastor Grace used to say, if a guy's not around to do something, she needs a woman to do it. She was so right. Who was Miriam in the Bible? Was she Moses' wife? Was she Moses' sister? Or was she Aaron's wife? This is really cool. How many think she was Moses' wife? Anybody Moses? How about Moses' sister? We got Moses. She can't be bold. Now don't put her in. How many think she was Aaron's wife? Aaron. She was really cool when I started reading this. Miriam She watched the Pharaoh's daughter take Moses from the basket in the Nile. She was Moses' sister. And what an interesting story, because I saw the name and I said, Miriam, that would be interesting. She watched the basket float down the Nile and see the Pharaoh's, and interesting too, people think it was the Pharaoh's wife. No, the Pharaoh's daughter got Moses in the basket. Isn't that interesting? And speaking of interesting, how many of we talked about Solomon? What was Solomon's big sin? Remember? He had 300 what? Wives. And 1,000 concubines. And you start thinking, Solomon, what were you thinking? How could you think like that? Well, I was reading the Bible, and it's funny when you read everybody, you read the Bible, and you read something you did not know, but you didn't realize. I love that. When you say, oh, aha, I know that. Like when I read one time that God sent the animals to Noah. I used to think when I was a kid, how did he get all them animals? How could one person do all that? Until I read in the Bible that God sent the animals. I said, aha. So Solomon, aha. Where did he? Remember the expression, the apple don't fall far from the tree? Anybody ever hear that expression? It says in Deuteronomy, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Deuteronomy is the laws. Amen? And it says, neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Not just to David. Amen? Understand. Not just to Solomon. Not just to the people. But the whole Israel nation, right? That is Deuteronomy 17. So knowing that, I started reading in Chronicles, and I came across this beautiful piece of information. David took more wives from Jerusalem. W-I-V-E-S, plural. And then I read the 2 Samuel, and David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. I read that, and I'm thinking, aha, the apple don't fall far from the tree. You say, how could Solomon do that? Because his father did that. And let me tell you, each one of them is unique. How many want the truth? It was an abomination to God. And you look at the problems that Solomon had and David had with all the women and all the things, and you understand it's an abomination from God. You have how many wives? One. That's right. And one wife is worth a million wives. A million everything. Right, guys? That was nice, Norman. I thought that's pretty cool. I don't know if you all knew that. Give God praise. Man. I love that. I think it's fun. You ever go to church and think it was fun? This is why church is so special. I think this church is fun. I'm going to read from 2 Samuel. I want to start at chapter 6. You all won't have to read with me. I'm going to read a little bit to stop. You know how I do that. And it starts in 2 Samuel 6, it said, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. How many?
30,000.
And David arose and went out to all the people who were with him from Baali Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. Aha. He arose. And he went and called 30,000 men. The Bible says choice men. He went. He went forward. Right? He woke up. He said, let's go do this. And he got the best men and he went. And here's a word that I want you to remember, because this is going to come back. He had good intentions. Could you say that with me? Good intentions. He had good intentions. He took them. And let's go get them. All right. Good. And he rose. So they set the ark of God on a new cart, circle that new, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before them. Amen? Amen. Now let me stop here. A new cart. Shiny new, brand wood, all beautiful, nails, looks gorgeous, amen?
Wrong.
Why was it wrong? The ark was not to be carried, it was not carted. It was to be carried, not carted. The ark was never made to be on a cart. As my wife would say, What is he doing? And this is where I get, now I say, you guys know all this, but listen, because this is important. I really believe it is. No matter how beautiful the cart may be on the outside, how perfect it appeared, it was without heart to God. The beauty of the cart or building, now follow me now, the beauty of the cart or any building, clothes, pageantry, anything, is not what God requires. Let me say that again. The beauty of the building is not what God requires. I don't care how beautiful the building looks, the cathedral looks with the beautiful glass and the foyer. That's not what God requires. Can I get an amen? It looks good to man, but without the presence of God, His Spirit, His Word, it's another empty vessel. Let me say that. Without the presence of God in that building or on that car, was it just an empty vessel. Amen? Understand that. The beauty is in your heart. You're humble. You're full of prayer. You're surrender and you're thanksgiving. That's where your beauty lies. You understand what I'm trying to say? No matter how beautiful the building looks, it's not with God in there. It's empty. It's nothing. No matter how beautiful that car, and the Bible says it was a new car, and it was beautiful. So they put it up. No matter how beautiful, when you're not with God, it's nothing. It's an empty vessel. It's dust. Anybody understand what I'm trying to say here? Okay, 6:5. And David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. Cymbals. Wow. Alright, stop right there. What happened? David's got the ark on the cart. First of all, that's not what God told him to do. The ark, the cart don't matter, like we said, the building doesn't matter. And now he's playing all these instruments. He's got these instruments, people playing. All the house played music, quite an orchestra. What a sound. I ask you this one question. Did it move God? I'll give you the answer. No. No. It didn't touch God. They were out of line. They were self. They were not in line with the word of God. Let me say that again, right? They were not in line with the word of God. Boy, I hate that I'm going to say it. They were just, worship is about music. Worship and music is about pleasing who? God. When we sang How Great Thou Art, my eyes were closed. I do that because I want to feel the presence of God. I want to feel it in my heart as she's singing How Great Thou Art. Because that's my God. I want Him to know in my heart. You see, that's where the music is. Amen? When you're playing music in church, it's to please God, not all the people getting crazy. I saw people dancing to the Lord. That's great if you're dancing to the Lord. But if you're dancing to be seen, it means nothing to God. Amen? Worship should and must lead us to God and His Word and just not just make us feel good. When she was singing that, my heart drew closer to God. I just felt that I want to feel His presence. I want to feel God's presence in my life almost every day. I just want it more and more. I yearn for that. And the only way to do that is get out of myself and just seek Him. Amen? Because when I have that, I have more than I can hope for. When you're in the presence of God and the will of God and mind of God, you have more than you can dream of. Can I get an amen? That's the truth. Well, they're singing and praising and the heart's on it. Come. They're happy. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Woo! Anybody ever hear that story?
No.
You never heard that story? God, this is great. I'm so happy. I can tell it to you. I can share it with you. Iman, have you heard that story? Let me kind of go back and say, the cart tips, right, David? The ark slips. The oxen stumbles. Uzzah tries to catch it. And he got it. Let me explain it. There should have been no cart. Let me tell you. There should have been no what? No oxen. No oxen. They and David should have known better. So God was pretty it's pretty. They were excited, all right, but they got ahead of God. Oops. Anybody here ever get ahead of God? Tell the truth, please. They went off on their own. Oops. Did it ever say one time that David prayed before he did anything? No, it said he arose, he got 30,000 men, they built a cart, let's go to it. Did they ask God? No. No, they didn't. Anybody here ever do that? Oh, you got a problem? No, don't get mad at me. Anybody ever wonder why God did not answer as you wanted? Hey. How many times have you ever said, where were you, God? Yeah. Anybody? I tell you this, thankful for God's mercy. I'm thankful every day for God's mercy. Because I went down roads I know he didn't want. I mean, I'm thinking I got myself in the middle of stuff that without God's mercy, thank you, I'd have been oozing. But God's got mercy. God's mercy never ends, the Bible says. It goes on and on. And I thank God for God's mercy, amen? Because when I'm walking that way, I know that God is going to be there. His mercy, right? Or else. But here's the thing. He cannot deny himself. Can I get an amen? The Bible says he cannot deny himself. He cannot bless what is out of line. Do you see that? He cannot bless anything that's up. It's not that his mercy, Miss Jean, understand, his mercy can help people, and your prayers can heal people, and your prayers can help people that you know aren't doing right, but because of his mercy. But he can't bless. He cannot bless what's out of the line of God. He can't do it. You see that? Do you see it? See what happens in your life, in America. You see what happens when we're not in line with God? You see what's going on in the world. Let's be honest. There's another gods in the world right now in this country running people nuts. You see what happens when God is taken away. Remove God from your plans, thoughts, and ideas. You become an empty vessel to be filled with what? When you take God out of your life, you think you're free, but you're not, because now you're empty and something else can fill it. And something will fill it. And you'll be worshiping something else. You'll be living under something else. Amen? Something not as nice as God's grace. Something not as nice as God's mercy. Let me tell you that again. When you're out of the will of God, you can go walking around. But if you're not in God's grace and mercy, where are you? Thank you, Lord. You don't want that. Can I get an amen? You never accept that. But that's exactly what David did and exactly what we do sometimes. I'm sorry to be honest, but that's what we do sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Uzzah died. God said it. Strictly forbidden. God said they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. Got that, Lily? God said it. I didn't make that up. David, of all people, should have known better. God cannot deny himself. Uzzah should have known better. Here's that word again. They had good intentions. Anybody here have good intentions? Yeah, I mean, they had good intentions. His plan, his purpose, his thoughts. I want to help this person, Lord. I want to help them. I have good intentions. I want to go somewhere, wherever it is. I have good intentions. Your good intentions. But I ask you this, are they God's good intentions? Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Remember, he knows this is the thing now. You got to remember, not me, because I remember for me. But he knows your heart. He knows whose heart? Your heart, Walter. He knows your thoughts. He knows. He knows your desires. God knows the truth. Say that with me. God knows the truth. Whatever you want to admit it. And he knows the best truth, the whole truth. Remember that, the whole truth? That's what makes it hard. So I ask you, whatever you did, was he invited? Did David invite God? No, he wasn't invited. Was he asked to go? No, he didn't ask any. He got up. Do you ask him that? Was he a tag along? And this is great. If you fail, if you lose something valuable, will it then become his fault? Understand that? Would it be his fault? If you were out of the line of God, out of the will of God, and I tell you, when you're out of the Word of God, he can be with you thanks to his mercy and his grace, thank you, Lord. But he can't bless what is not holy. He can't bless what is out of the line of God. So it's not his fault. It becomes David's fault. Amen. It becomes becomes Uzzah's fault. Because they did what they should have known better, and they did it out of good intentions. It doesn't matter. Thank you. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Wow. David was angry at God. Anybody here ever been angry at God? He was frustrated. His friend died. He failed. He wanted to do something great. How could it fail? Now, how could I do it? David saying, what can I do now? And he puts the ark into somebody's house. We find the answer in the Word of God. The first thing that you do is stop. Say that word with me. Stop. That's the first thing. And you regroup. Stop means do nothing. Don't make another mistake. Can I get an amen? Say it with me. Amen. Come on. If you mean it. Remember, God's mercy never ends. God doesn't hold a grudge. Isn't that wonderful? He's different than we are. How many here hold grudges? He doesn't do that. Thankfully, because of his mercy and his grace, he does. When you say, Lord, I'm sorry, you know my thoughts, and you say, Lord, I was out of line. Remember, you're talking to God. David stopped all work. Did you read that? He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to move it. So he brought it to that friend's house and he left it there. He stopped. But he didn't stop. Because when you read the First Chronicles, let me read this to you. 1 Chronicles 15:11, if you want to read it at home, listen to it. And you've got to dig in the Bible to find this is what David did. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab, he said to them, you are the heads of the fathers' houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the God, the Lord God of Israel, to the place I have prepared for. Listen to this. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Wow. He didn't blame God. He said, I didn't do it right. He said, because you did not do this the first time. He wasn't mad at them, understand? He's telling the Levite priest, because you didn't do this, because I didn't ask you, because I didn't have you to do this, because you weren't there to do this, the Lord broke out against us. See, he wasn't blaming them. He was just saying as a fact. Because you weren't there to do it, I didn't ask you to do it. He said, you're the heads of the fathers of the house of Levi. Sanctify yourselves. In other words, go up and pray. Fast. Pray about it. I want you clean. I want you ready to go. Yes. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God to Israel. Wow. So when you read that, see, David never asked God before he had the good intentions. Can I get an amen? He just went off on his own. Well, we'll build a new ark. Wrong. And we'll do it this way. Wrong. And I'll get ahead of God because he's going to forgive me. No. He cannot deny himself. Uzzah touched the ark. The ark shouldn't have been on the oxen, on the cart, shouldn't have been there. And nothing should have been happening because they should have known better. Sometimes you have to lose something really valuable to understand. Something you think you thought was in your hands was never in your hands. God has any control, amen? When you look at something and say, that's mine, that's not always true. It belongs to God. If you're out of the line of God, out of the will of God, your life can get messed up. And I don't want anybody, I want you to understand when you're not in line with God, when you don't take it with you, when you don't pray about it, you're getting ahead of God, things happen. Because you cannot remove God from anything. But if you remove God from your heart, something else will fill it. Thank you. God knows your good intentions. And I love this. He is not unaware of what you pray for. That should make you smile, right?
He's Jim. He's not unaware of what you want. He's not. He knows what you want. Maybe, just maybe, he has a plan, and your plan is getting in the way. Oh, you should write that down and put it on your refrigerator. God might have a plan because he knows your desires and he wants to bless you, and your plan keeps getting in the way. What are you doing? He said, I'm going to fix this. What are you doing? Remember, his answer, I love this, his ways bless both parties. Amen? When God blesses even the situation you have, if you let God do it, it will bless both parties. Maybe you won't get the credit for it. You have to give it to God. Maybe you won't feel it. Oh, but God did it through you. Amen? That's great. Great. Amen? Amen. Maybe his plan would be better than your plan, and both of you will be blessed. Both the town, both the nation, whatever you're praying for, whatever it is we're praying for our government and our home and our country, we give it to God. Amen? We can't fix it. We give it to God. His way to bless both parties. He blessed the giver and the receiving, right? He blessed the giver and the receiver. That's how God works. Isn't that better? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Isn't that better? So David did it God's way. God was honored. David was honored. The people were honored. Everybody got blessed because he did it God's way. Thank you, Lord. God must be included even more. God is the driver, or you might get lost. God is the director, or you might forget your place. You might forget your lines. If he's not, this nation can get lost. Amen? Thank you, Lord. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. When you know the gospel, and this nation knows the gospel, when you know Jesus Christ, and that's what kept us safe. Jesus has kept us safe. The gospels have kept us safe. When we remove that, removing God is not the end. Let me say that. Removing something can and will take its place. Removing God is the dream of the enemy. Understand that. We're fighting a spiritual war, amen? Removing God is a dream of the enemy, period. Morality is gone. It takes a while, but Satan is willing to wait. Anything that can get our eyes off of God is his only goal. Understand that. Satan has one goal, to get your eyes off of Jesus, to get your eyes off of God, and he will wait and do anything to do that. And he will paint pretty pictures for you to see and pretty thoughts you might have and nothing to do with God, but he will do it. He knows the final battle. Can I get an amen? He knows that he's going to lose. He knows that's over. So he's desperate, and he will even enter churches. Let me say that again. Satan will enter churches to get your eyes off of God. False teachers and false priests and false prophets talking about sin and as holy, amen? Calling what is sinful holy. We find ourselves arguing about foolish words, like it's called a bait and switch. Anybody ever see it? My landlord said it's called content and intent, which is a great, you start thinking about it. We argue if we can hear a baby's heartbeat at 6 weeks. Anybody hear that? They're arguing. Oh, you can't hear a baby's heartbeat at 6 weeks. So I say, fine. See, that's not the argument, amen? We're looking at God. Hallelujah. 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. It's an unborn child. Amen? An unborn child. An unborn child. It's about life. It's not about choice. It's an unborn life. Amen? It's a child. 6 weeks. See, they're arguing about 6 weeks. That they don't care. Ask them, well, is 10 weeks enough? Is 12? How about 4? How about 16 weeks? Is that enough? No, that's not what they want. That's not what Satan wants. He wants death to the children. That's what you sacrifice. Molech was one of the worst gods, and he demanded that people sacrifice their children on his altar. That's what we're doing now. We're doing it today, and they're doing it in church. People in church are saying, I'm pro-choice. What are you talking about? You can't be pro-choice. It's pro-life. That's all. And we're not arguing about 6 weeks. Who cares about 6 weeks? What's inside the woman is an unborn child. Period. Amen? That's hallelujah. We disagree about pro-choice and pro-life. The ungod, this is what this is it. You want to, thank you, Lord. We disagree about pro-choice and pro-life, but the ungodly lack of compassion, angry, violent way some are defending the right to end a life should be cause every church and every denomination to cry out to God. I'm telling you right now, this is what you got to print on your Facebook and say. The abomination that every church doesn't cry out to God, it doesn't matter how many weeks, they don't care how many weeks, 6 weeks of heartbeat. That's not at all what they care about. They want you to lose. They want God to lose. They want to sacrifice your children. They're going into schools and trying to indoctrinate your children, your grandchildren, to give them something that's evil, amen? To talk to them about things that a seven-year-old doesn't need to talk about. You used to be indecent, amen? If you ever went to a seven-year-old and told these things, you'd be arrested for indecency. They're going into the schools and teaching our kids this stuff now. And they're arguing, and the thing that gets me as your pastor is how angry they are that you don't see that my body, my choice. Yeah, how many weeks? Well, how many choices? How long should we wait? No, I can't hear a heartbeat in 6 weeks. Fine. How about 12 weeks? Is that enough? Can we say, no, they don't want 12 weeks. They don't want 16 weeks. They just want to be able to do it anytime they want to. Tell me that's not from the pits of hell. Tell me that's not. How can that be anything? And the lack of compassion and the anger that they fight. You all see it. See, we're pro-life and we walk around. Pro, and the pro-choice people are smashing their signs, smashing windows. We're not smashing. Their anger to defend that is absolutely an abomination to God. That's all I can tell you. The fact that when you empty the world of God, something else is going to fill it. The other gods are going to come. That's what happens, amen? And that's what we're seeing. Gene gave me this book, and I read it, and it just fired me up to realize it's an unborn child, period. It's not a frog, it's not a puppy, it's not a cat, it's a baby. So at what stage can we all agree that you can't kill the life? Because it's a life in the womb. Amen? So if you're killing something, it's alive. Amen? So when, as Christians, we need to stand up and ask the right questions. When? What are you arguing? How can you be so uncompassionate for the unborn life? How can you be? And people, and men are getting crazy. People say men can get pregnant. Are you kidding? What happened to science? Amen? We had a doctor argue with saying, well, if you're arguing with me, you're arguing with science. Science. I heard that. I heard him say that on TV. So I'm asking you today, what about science? Men, can anybody know a man in history that ever got pregnant? I don't know one. You see what the devil does? You see these other guys? They're making us argue whether men can get pregnant. Really? That's insanity. They're telling us that you can go into schools and teach these kids about sex at 7 years old. That's insanity. My mother would have a fit. So would Doreen's mother. She'd have walked in there and grabbed her kids out of that school just like that. See, this what other, when you take God out of school, something else is going to fill it. It makes zero sense. Amen? But you need to know the truth. I don't understand. And I wish Jim was here because we talk about that. We talk about churches just afraid to talk about it. And we can't be. Their lack of compassion, they're angry and violent. Defending the right to end a life should cause every church and every denomination to cry out to God. Every single church. I don't care what religion, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, Baptist. I don't care what you're preaching God. You should be crying out to God. You should be screaming that out. We should be able to agree with that. Hallelujah. But they're going to call your Bible hate speech. I'm warning you because it's in the Bible. They're going to call the Bible, the Word of God, hate speech. And they're going to try to remove God so something else can take his place. Other gods will take over. Another religion. Again, I tell you this one more time. It's another religion that they're living in. They have a religion. They call you religious and crazy, but they're religious and crazy. Their religion is that, the religion of hate. How could you do that? You think of these things and you say, how can you have common sense? Because there's another God and religion in control, amen? Another religion, not the God of the Bible. Hallelujah. False gods and false teachers, especially in church. Be strong. There is no life so far from God that His mercy can't reach you. I wanted to read this from the book, because if I tried to tell you, I would mess it up. So let me read this. There is no life so far from God that His mercy cannot reach you. There is no sin one has committed that is so great that His forgiveness is not greater still. No bondage, no addiction. No chain so strong that it can withstand His powers to break it. No path so defiled, so full of guilt and shame that His power to redeem it is still not greater. And no darkness so dark that His love is now deeper still. He is the light that drives out all darkness, the hope that overcomes all hopelessness, the grace that washes away all sin, guilt, and shame, and the way that breaks open every wall and barrier and makes possible what is not. His arms are still open and His love calling. Only one has to do is say yes to receive it, to receive Him. Victory lies in that name. Don't get angry like that. Don't get fired up. You just call on Jesus. You let Jesus into your heart. Say, Lord, show me. You open up the Bible and find the scripture. Use that scripture for your strength. When you're coming against evil, you have to just use His word. You have to use the armor of God. You have the sword, which is the word. You use that sword. You have to have eyes to see and wisdom to understand that this is not from God. When you know what you see, it's not from God. Don't argue with the devil. Don't argue. Don't argue with people who are like that, because you won't win the argument. But you stand strong and you call people and you tell them about Jesus. You tell them that your church talks about Jesus, that your church talks truth, that your church leads people to the truth. You tell people that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. That's what you tell them. You tell them that there's hope for them. You won't be able to reason with some of these people, so don't try it, because you'll end up sounding like a fool. But you trust in God. You trust in Jesus to overcome what we're seeing today. Can I get an amen? Give Him praise. See what they're saying, it has nothing to do with what they mean. They just understand the truth. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Gene, for that book that I could read, and I'll give that back to you. But thank you for that. To just see it in a different way, see it in the way of God. When you take God out of something, something else will take its place. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it in the world today. But you be strong, because our God overcomes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's right, that's scripture. Right in your bulletin. You're not fighting against man, you're fighting against other gods that we don't need, we don't want, and we condemn and we curse them, and we send them back to hell. Amen? And we do that with one name, Jesus. They cannot be in the same room with Jesus. They cannot stand in the light of Jesus. They cannot fight against Jesus. Jesus overcomes, and we are going to overcome them with Jesus. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Psalm 139 says, for you form me in inward parts. You cover me in my mother's womb. Isn't that enough to know? He knew you before you were born. When you were an unborn child. Thank you, Lord. One name. We have one name to put on the front of the church, it would be Jesus. If you had one name to put on the front of your house, it would be Jesus. The power of that name, when people see that name, they see all they need to know. Don't mess with them. They're covered by Jesus. He was real. He is real. He's alive today. We have eyewitnesses who saw him. Eyewitnesses who ate with him, who talked with him. Eyewitnesses who walked with him. They saw him take the bread, bless it, break it, and say, this is my body being torn for you. And all he asked us to do is do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities. Lord, forgive me if I said anything wrong this morning. If I didn't preach you strong enough or powerful enough, if I didn't tell them enough about you this morning, forgive me, Lord, that I know I'll remember things later that I wanted to say now. Help me, Lord. Help us in this church to be stronger. I know that the number is a little short today with people, Lord, but you know where they are, so I ask you to bless them and bring them back, Lord. I ask you to bring people here and we will tell them your name. But I know one thing for sure, those who are here today who you wanted to be here today to hear that message, Lord. We love you. We worship you, Lord, and we just want more of you, especially in this church, Lord, your house. We do this, Lord, asking you to forgive us for iniquities of this week. Any good intentions we might have had when we were out of line. Any good intentions we might have thought of, Lord, before asking you and being honored that, Lord. Because you have plans, too. And we don't want to get in the way of your plans any longer. So, Lord, thank you and forgive us, Father. Thank you. As we take this, the wine being poured into a cup, he said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Wow. He said, do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me the strength Friday night to be on stage for 2 hours. And I had my feet hurt and I had my back hurt. Make me feel good and took care of me, Lord. I give you praise and glory for that. I thank you, Lord, for my wife who takes care of me like a mother. She just puts me under her wings, Lord. I am blessed. I pray you, husbands and wives out there, you see your mate as that beautiful companion. And then those who are looking for a companion, wait for God. He knows your heart. You do all you can do to prepare yourself. Whatever you need to do for you, you get ready and prepare yourself for God, for his answer. So that when his answer comes, you're prepared. I ask you, Lord, to direct us and keep us. I know people have good intentions and things they want to do, but let them do it with God first. Let them walk with God first. If it slows you down, it's better. If it just, he'll open the door when the door is right. He has a plan. He knows your heart. He knows your desires. He knows the problems you're praying about. Let God lead you. Let God lead you so he doesn't have to fix your mistake before he goes on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let us know that when you take God out of anything, something else will fill it. We need to put God back. One step at a time, one day at a time, we need to put God back. When you talk to people, talk about Jesus. When you're on Facebook, talk about Jesus. Don't let them win the argument. Don't let them lead you in an argument that's foolish and worthless. It's all about Jesus and God. Compassion, love, and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, Lord, in this church. Thank you for those here who asked me to come here almost 12 years ago, Lord, that you blessed us with a family. And just thank you for all you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church. Hallelujah. No Bible study this week.
No.
I mean, the week after this week, which would be the week after this week.
God. Prairie. oceans white with foam.